Some of you get here in time to hear this, and some of you don't, so I'm going to describe what happens for those of you who might not arrive in time to hear it. Before the opening voluntary, whoever is preaching that day, it's usually me, but whoever's preaching that day will come out, and they will simply speak a word, not just one word, but a sentence or maybe two, to kind of shush people before the voluntary. I mean, it has a practical role as well. But I know when I do that, it's always something like, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and give thanks in it." Give thanks. Or, "This day is a gift from God. We come to thank the giver." It's always about gratitude. We begin every single Sunday expressing our gratitude to God. I don't do this every Sunday, but fairly frequently I try to remind the choir that I worship when they sing. If you didn't worship during that anthem, you better check your pulse. Seriously. That's when I get to worship up here. That's a gift to me. And it's important for me, at least occasionally, to say thank you for that. In the story that you just heard Becky read, Jesus encounters 10 lepers. Now, leprosy was a broad term in those days. It covered what we think of as leprosy, but it also covered a lot of different skin ailments. And so there were a number of people who were isolated, lonely, who always, if anyone approached them to shake their hand or give them a hug, had to refuse. Unclean. It wasn't just a refusal, it was a definition of who they were. Unclean. So Jesus comes along the way. They know his name. Now, I don't know if his disciples perhaps went ahead of him and said, "Hey, get out of the way. Keep your distance. Our master, Jesus, is coming along." Or if they had heard of him through some other means. But they call out to him at a distance. Of course they're going to keep their distance. They have to. They call out at a distance, "Jesus, Master." It's the only time anybody calls Jesus Master other than his disciples in the Gospel of Luke. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, usually, that phrase, "have mercy on me" or "have mercy on us," was asking for alms, was asking for financial help. But in this case, "have mercy on us" was a plea for healing. And Jesus doesn't say, "Okay, you're healed." He doesn't at this point say, "Your faith has made you whole." He says something very strange. He says, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." Well, they still have leprosy. If they go and show themselves to the priest, they will be refused. They won't be allowed to get near. But they do what he says. And along the way, they are healed. It's a process. As they follow Jesus' instruction and do what they've been asked to do, along the way, bit by bit, their skin clears. Now, we don't know what happened tonight of those folks. They disappear into history. My guess is they went to the priest. The priest looked at them. Their skin was clean. They got a certification of being cured. No longer did they have to be isolated. No longer did they have to be lonely. They could live the ordinary life that every other human being takes for granted. But one never made it to the priest. When he saw what was happening, he turned around and began to praise God, went back and found Jesus, prostrated himself, which means he threw himself face forward on the ground, stretched out in front of Jesus as an act of humility in order to honor Jesus, and told him, "Thank you." And Jesus doesn't say, oh, you're welcome. He says, weren't there 10? Where are the others? Well, the one doesn't know the answer to that question. He couldn't choose for them. But he knew that what Jesus said was true. There had been 10. 9 had gone. 1 had come back to say a simple thank you. Now, Jesus doesn't take the healing away from the 9. Everybody gets blessed, whether they come back and say thank you or not. It's kind of like us, isn't it? We all have the blessings of this world, surrounded by the beauty of this world. And a few of us come and we say thank you. The church still does that. We welcome everyone. You can come and continue to come if you never give a nickel, if you never volunteer for a job, if you never serve on a committee. You can continue to come. The blessings still flow. But then there are some folks who will come back to say thank you. Folks like you, you're here this morning. You are the one. You wouldn't be here if you weren't the one. You are here because somehow you have received a blessing from God, a gift from God, and you have appreciated that gift, and you want to come back and offer thanks, just to say thank you. Now, it's easy to worry about the other 9. You know, their gifts, because God doesn't take their gifts away from them. But we can't make decisions for them. We can only make decisions for us. And we have decided today to come and offer thanks to be the one. And we offer thanks in lots of ways. One is just showing up. Over 90% of any job is just showing up. Showing up for choir practice. Showing up for worship. Showing up to rehearse the organ. Showing up for Sunday school class. Showing up for Wednesday nights. Showing up for committee meetings. Showing up for mission trips. Just showing up is a big part of it. It is saying thank you in a big way. And you showed up. You are the one. We offer our gifts. Some of us are able to offer larger gifts than others. Some of us have more time, less money, but we can offer that time. Some of us have more money than time. We can offer that money. Some of us have special skills and knowledge. We can offer those skills. We can offer that knowledge. I know the announcements get a little boring sometimes, and I think you probably just tune out whenever I start. But you think about all those opportunities are opportunities to say thank you. All I'm really doing in offering those announcements is asking you, you want to say thank you in this way or that way or this way or that way. You want to say thank you by volunteering a room in the inn or driving, learning to drive the bus. You want to say thank you by hearing about a Guatemala mission trip and maybe even going one day. You want to say thank you by simply attending a class that will help you get more deeply involved in this congregation. How you want to say thank you today? That's part of it. We offer our gifts. One of the hardest parts of ministry is begging people to do what they know and you know they need to do anyway. Like come to worship. I've spent so much time worrying about the 9. You know, we're supposed to be up here doing something sensational, something flashy, something really good, you know, that will compete with television. But much of what we do is not flashy. It's not sensational. It's hard work, and it's dirty work, and it's God's work. And we're inviting you into that. Or trying to ask people to give money. I did not sign up to be a development director. And yet that's what I've done for decades now in churches, is essentially, with the help of many other people, helped raise budgets year after year after year after year. Every year here, you hear me talk about money. A couple of years ago when we had the legacy campaign, I bet you got so tired of hearing me talk about money. I got tired of hearing me talk about money. And yet look what we have. A torn up church. So we can make it beautiful again. So we can make it a safe place and a beautiful place and a comfortable place to come. Not to stay here, but so we can encounter the living God and say thank you by going out into the world and doing the things that offer our gratitude to God. This beautiful, wonderful place is not just here for our comfort. It is here for our empowerment to go forth and offer our gratitude. This year, I'm not going to talk about money a whole lot. We have worked with a system of faithful giving for several years, and that system has kind of gotten tired, okay? So mostly you're just going to hear from me in a few letters, a few announcements. For those of you who already pledge, I'm going to be writing you to thank you for offering your thanks in that way, to encourage you to continue doing that, and if you can, to increase it 3%, 5%, 10%. Some of you have already done that last year, and that's great. Thank you. Thank you. For those of you who give and don't pledge, I'm going to be writing to say, think about estimating what you might give next year. That's really what a pledge is. It's simply an estimate of your giving. It helps us to plan. It helps us to know what we will and won't be able to do in the coming year. Won't you give us that help as part of your thank you? And for everyone else, if you don't give regularly or you don't pledge, continue to offer your thanks. Continue to find ways to be involved. And it might be money, or it might be time, or it might simply be learning how to share your gifts out there. Because everything we do can be a part of a lifestyle of thank you. A lifestyle of gratitude. I can't beg the nine, okay? But you're not the nine. You're the one. You've already come to say thank you. And I can offer you ways of saying thank you. More and more and more ways of saying thank you. Opportunities to say, look at what God has done for us. What can I do in return? Instead of focusing on money in the next few weeks, we're going to be focused on caring. As a part of our pilgrimage, we're caring for one another. And we're going to start a whole series on how do we care for ourselves, our neighbors, our larger community, our world. Because after all, isn't giving of your finances a form of caring? A very concrete, very helpful form of caring? I'm going to ask you to do several things. One is to go to those people who are still around that you would like to say thank you to. Find them today or this week and tell them thank you. Now, there are folks in my life who aren't still around to say thank you to. My great aunt, Minerva Cherry, who first told me stories. She died when I was nine, and so I didn't even think to say thank you. That's just the way we talked where I grew up. But this past couple of days, I've been in Jonesboro, Tennessee at the National Storytelling Festival. I went first in 1979, have many friends of long time, and I can see them and seek them out and say thank you for all that you taught me, for the support that you gave me. I can do that. And I did that. let me encourage you to find those folks and say thank you. I remember several years ago, quite a number of years ago now, I was invited back to my high school for career day. I was supposed to come and tell these high school students about what it was like to be a local church pastor. And I didn't go back to the old school that I had attended. It was built by the WPA. It was a great big stone school with wooden floors, and they used this oil sawdust that we call floor sweep on the floors, you know. And so it smelled like a school ought to smell. Unfortunately, it's gone. There is, I was about to say, a new high school. It opened in 1969. There's a new high school, and I went to that one, and I was sitting up there with several of us who were speaking for career day, and immediately before me was a Montgomery Central graduate who was a prison guard. So he had all kinds of stories about people reaching through the bars and trying to grab him. He had stories about people making knives out of spoons and sharpening them. He had people about hiding contraband in their shoes. I mean, it was great. These were wonderful, great, exciting stories. And then there was me. And ministry must have sounded like the most boring job in the whole world. I did not feel really good about my presentation. I figured nobody would ever want to go into ministry. They'd all be rushing to be prison guards. But while I was there, I went by to thank several of my teachers. One is a teacher that I have mentioned before, June Abernathy, my guidance counselor, who saw things in me I did not see in myself, nobody else saw in me, and whose encouragement has been formative in my life. I went to see Mrs. Hinton, who taught both English and Spanish in our high school. I went to see Mrs. Farrell. Now, Mrs. Farrell was my junior English teacher. She was very strict. And I was always left with the impression, anytime I turned in any work, that she thought I could have done better if I just worked a little harder. She thought I was lazy. Mrs. Farrell was also the one teacher who came to the funeral home when my mother died. And when my father died. I went to speak to Mrs. Farrell, and I knew that she would probably have something to say about my presentation, and so I wanted to say it before she had a chance. I saw her and I said, you know, I wasn't really happy with how I did today. Without letting me go a word further, she said, oh, don't worry about it. More will wind up in prison than in ministry anyway. She made me feel a whole lot better. Go tell somebody thanks. Somebody who has meant a lot to your life. Just say thank you. A second thing I'll ask you to do is, when you get that letter from me, don't just stack it with all the other requests from your schools and every other organization in the world. Take it out and actually read it. I know how this works. I do the same thing. Take it out and read it. And pray about it. And ask yourself, how do I best say thank you? Not to me, but for what God has given all of us. And let your estimate of giving be guided by that thank you. Not by, even by what you gave last year, although we'll probably be suggesting that you increase that. Let it be guided by your gratitude. And finally, I want to ask you to find a way to live out your thanks in the world. You may already be doing that. You may have found that niche. More power to you. That's great. But find that way that you can express your gratitude for all that God has given you by passing those good gifts along. We are blessed for one reason and one reason only, to be a blessing to others. Been true since Abraham and Sarah, still true. Find the way, if you haven't already, to be that blessing to others that only you can be. And if you have, just know that you have our love and support in what you do. Because you know what? While we worry a lot about the nine, I suppose that's appropriate. You're the one. You are here. You are the one. Thanks be to God.